Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life. Yeah, yeah.
Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. I'm so glad you've tuned into the program this morning. My name is Brent Russett, and I'm the lead pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church here in Ottawa. I've been pastoring there for 28 years. And one of the things I love to do is show how God's Word that was written a long time ago connects with our world right now. And I know that some of you listening have been followers of Jesus for a long time, and I know that others of you think of yourself as spiritual, but you're not really sure what to do with this Christian thing. And I know others of you are just curious of how people of faith think. I trust that wherever you are on your spiritual journey, that you'll find this program interesting, informative, and helpful. This morning, I want to talk about the principle of sowing and reaping judgment. All the way through the Bible, you see this principle of sowing and reaping. And, you know, if you sow corn, you'll reap corn. You won't reap apples if you sow corn. Another way of putting it is the Bible suggests that if you keep on driving down the road you're going to get to where that road is going to take you. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap spiritual flourishing. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap spiritual destruction. You see the sowing and reaping principle in all parts of life. If you keep on spending more than you make, you'll reap where that path is going to lead you. If you neglect friend relationships, you'll reap distant relationships. Well, today I wanted to look at the specific area of judgment, sowing and reaping judgment. Judging others hurts you. Now, the application to this message is, of course, don't judge others. And we already know that, right? We don't really view ourselves as judgmental. After all, we're Canadians. But I'm hoping to give you a biblical view of what it means to judge. Let me take you to the text and then give you some reasons why it's important for us, especially in our culture, to hear the words of Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 5, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." You hear the sowing and reaping principle there? Then Jesus the carpenter paints this funny, absurd picture. "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Well, let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." You know, we Canadians, we're a tolerant bunch. We pride ourselves in saying, vive la différence. The only thing we can't tolerate are those who are intolerant. So we think, you know, we got this judgment thing. I hate to break it to you, though, but a Canadian view of tolerance and what Jesus is talking about, when he says do not judge, are different. They're not even close to the same thing. The way judgment or tolerance works in our society is we tend to be tolerant up to a point, And then at some point, we condemn the person for their sin. We tend to be tolerant of being sexually permissive up until the point where you get a Harvey Weinstein. And then what happens is we condemn the person for their sin. And of course, what Harvey Weinstein did was horrible and wrong. And he has been thoroughly condemned. The other way we judge judgment works in our society is that we say, well, nothing that a person does is wrong. You live the way you want to live, and I'll affirm you and your chosen lifestyle. And it really doesn't matter what kind of bizarre people do. They will find people on the internet to affirm them. And what these two views of tolerance and judgment do is actually bind people's sin to them. One says, you're not only wrong, but you are condemned and there's no hope for you. The other enables people, saying, you were meant to be this way, but both are saying, you are your sin and your sin is you. But Jesus comes along and says something different. The grace that Jesus taught us says this. Grace says you are different from your sin. God says there is sin, but your sin is not the real you. So Canadian view of tolerance in Jesus' world, do not judge, are different. So what is Jesus saying when he says, do not judge or you too will be judged? For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Well, in Canadian society, we think declaring something good or bad, right or wrong, is judging. And that's not the idea behind this word, or at least it's not the whole definition. Can you imagine using that definition and saying, well, I really want to follow what Jesus says. So I'm going to follow what Jesus says, and I'm going to be a parent. So, you know, little Joey, you just carved your initials into the piano, but I can't really judge that as right or wrong. Or little Alice, you just stole from our neighbor and you lied about it. But, you know, I want to follow Jesus, and I'm not really going to judge whether that's right or wrong. Of course, that would be absurd, right? What you did, little Joey, little Alice, was wrong. If you're going to be a good parent to little Joey or little Alice, then you need to let them know what is right and wrong. That is not what Jesus is talking about when he says, do not judge. The idea of judgment not only carries with it the idea of what is right or wrong, but it carries with it the idea of judging them guilty and then condemning them for it. Not only are we condemning them for what they did, but we condemn their very being. Judgment here is about saying not only what you did is wrong, but you're wrong. Your very being is wrong. Judgment here is about condemnation. So if I say to little Joey or little Alice, what you did was wrong, I've not passed judgment in the biblical sense. But if I go on to say, you're such a bad kid, then I've moved to judgment. I've condemned their personhood. You parents know this. You can say what you did was wrong or bad, but you shouldn't say they're bad. That kind of statement binds the wrongness of their action to their identity, and that's really harmful. But we pass those judgments all the time, not just on our family, but on our friends and our bosses and our coworkers and celebrities. You know, they're such idiots, morons, losers. Fill in your own word. We not only judge them to be wrong, we condemn their very personhood for it. And Jesus comes along and says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you used, it will be measured to you. Or a rough translation is, don't condemn, or you too will be condemned. For the way you condemned others, you will be condemned. And the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So how does the sowing and reaping principle work in regards to judging? Well, on a very basic level, when you condemn someone else's personhood, a person made in the image of God, you diminish your own personhood. If you're the kind of person that is pulling other people down, you are probably the kind of person who has stunted yourself. You cannot diminish others without diminishing yourself. The sowing and reaping principle is in effect. Remember what the Bible says, you reap what you sow. So Jesus is saying that if you sow judgment and condemnation, you're going to reap judgment and condemnation. Now if you know anything about gardening, you know that a seed does not necessarily look like the plant that grows from that seed. A carrot seed does not look like a carrot. Sometimes you'll sow judgment in one area and the judgment you reap doesn't look like the judgment you sown, but it will be connected. And if you're a gardener, you will also know that there's a lag time between when you sow and when you reap. There's oftentimes a lag time between when you judge and when you reap judgment. See, people who judge other people on their fashion sense are often insecure about their own looks. It's not a judgment to say, that, you know, that ensemble doesn't work. But when you move from that to judging a person's character, their upbringing, all because of their looks, then you have moved into judgment and you will reap what you sow. When you judge others because they have different preferences than yours, you will often reap others' choice not to be in close relationship to you. Yeah, I know that the church in North America is often judged as being very judgmental, sometimes unfairly, but sometimes very fairly. We reap what we sow. People don't want anything to do with a judgmental church. We often tend to what we tend to do is judge others' weaknesses against our own strengths. And when we do that, this tends to make us really insecure about our own weaknesses. When you judge others, it has a boomerang effect. You reap what you sow. So Jesus goes on and says, you know, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, well, let me take the speck out of your eye when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Jesus says, well, why are you looking at other people's stuff when you have a boatload of stuff to work on yourself? Forget about other people's stuff and work on your own stuff. And when you've dealt with your own stuff, well, maybe you can be a help to someone else and with their stuff. But we are really good at judging other people's stuff and overlooking our own. There are people who will judge drug addicts or alcoholics, the addicted. All the while, they have their own issues of being addicted to food or smartphones or living in codependent relationships, which is just another form of addiction. We see other people's stuff, but we don't see our own stuff. We fail to have compassion on the poor or the homeless or the mentally ill. We condemn them for living in their circumstances in life, and yet many of us fail to be thankful for our own good health or our own families, such as they were, that gave many of us a boost. And we pretend to have earned all that we had, but when you look at your life honestly, you'll see that it's built on something like good health or what other people have poured into you. We condemn others for not having the advantages we've had, and that hurts us. There are a few things that I want you to notice about this passage. When Jesus talks about getting the plank out of your own eye, he's not saying judge yourself. Don't condemn yourself in the sense that we've been using it. Condemning yourself is unhelpful, but acknowledging that you have stuff is really helpful. The plank in your eye, it is not you, but it is going to keep you from functioning like you were meant to function. But Jesus comes along and says, acknowledge your plank. Acknowledge your stuff. He says, do something about your stuff. You are not condemned because of the plank in your eye. You just can't see to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Your ability to speak into others' lives is inhibited if you don't deal with your own stuff. Let me say that if you tend to judge yourself by your own plank, that's really unhelpful. When you condemn yourself because of your stuff tends to become part of your identity, but your plank is not you. If it has been in your eye for a very long time, it can seem to be a part of you, but it is not you. Repent of judging and condemning yourself so that you can be separated from your plank. And that gives room for God to deal with you and your stuff. We're going to listen to a song called Love One Another from the Maranatha Singers. Love goes in direct opposition to judgment and condemnation.
He who loves is born of God.
I want to talk to you who are Christians. And by that, I mean you've received Jesus into your life and you're trying to follow him. You know that he's taken away your sin, he's forgiven you, and you're doing your best to do what he says. You know you're not perfect, but your desire is to do what Jesus wants you to do. If you're a Christian, then Jesus has some extra things to say to you about judgment. It comes through the words of Paul found in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. And then here's what Paul writes. I wrote to you in my letter, do not associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or greedy, or swindlers, or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I'm writing to you that you must not associate with people who claim to be a brother or sister, but as sexually immoral or greedy or an adulterer or slanderer, a drunkard or swindler. Do not even eat with such people. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? This seems to be a harsh passage, but I think it's a really important passage. The first thing to note is that if you are a Christian, you have no business judging those who are outside the church. Even as the passage says, those who are sexually immoral or swindlers or idolaters, when you judge people in our world, we are not being what we are called to be. People will not be condemned because of their greed or their idolatry. They will be judged on what they do with Jesus. When you judge people who are not Christians on their sin, you are showing that you think that sin can be dealt with by some other means than Jesus, and that's problematic. When you see people who are not Christians sinning, the right response is grief, not judgment, not anger, because you know, and I know, that you don't so much break God's laws as you break yourself against God's laws. When you sin, it hurts you. When you see our society going in a way that other than God's way, our response has got to be one not of condemnation, but of compassion. If you're going to keep going like you're going, you tell the people, if you keep going to do that, you're going to be in a lot of pain, and you're not going to flourish. I know you can't see it right now, and I really wish you could, and I love you, so I wish you wouldn't go down that road, but really the choice is yours. Don't judge. Don't condemn. Have compassion. It's not about their sin. It's about what they do with Jesus. But Paul says something very different to those inside the church. He says someone who is claiming to be a brother or a sister in Christ, but they've been living in a sexually immoral or greedy way, or they're an adulterer, slanderer, swindler, then you have to judge that for yourself. He says, don't associate with such people. Now, Paul in this passage is dealing with someone who was sleeping with their stepmom and all the while claiming to be a brother in Christ. And he was not repentant. He was thinking, there's nothing wrong with this. Paul says, wait a second here. Spiritual fellowship is so sacred that people who persist in their sins without repentance will jeopardize the work of God in your life. You need to make your choice not to associate with them. And condemnation of them is just this, that I'm going to break fellowship with you. I'm not going to associate with you. Now, in many churches like the one I pastor, we have all kinds of people in all kinds of places on their spiritual journey. And that's awesome. You know, there are some people who are just kind of kicking the tires and wondering about this Christian thing. There are people who are just brand new Christians. And then there are people who've been Christians for quite a while. In my judgment, in contexts like this, the scripture is talking not about people who are thinking about becoming Christians or new Christians. It's talking about people who have been established in the faith, people who have grown up and they have a sense of what real faith is. And they've been Christians for quite a while. And if they're grievously sinning and they're unrepentant about it, they are not the kind of people who you want in your close circle of spiritual friends. Now, that goes because what happens when you do that is it has a way of pulling you down. And you say, listen, you know, I love you. I want the best for you, but I don't want what's going on in your life to get in the way of my relationship with Jesus. But Paul balances that whole idea off with what he wrote to the church in Rome. He says this, Except the one, this is Romans 14, verse 1, except the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. You know, one person's faith will allow them to eat anything, but another's, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master they stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord has made them able to stand. There are a whole lot of areas where we see things differently. They are what Paul calls disputable matters. If we're full of pride, then we think we're always right, and we think that there is no disputable matters whatsoever. But the reality is that there are so many things that are not black and white. Now, the issue in the church in Rome at the time was eating meat sacrificed to idols, or which days were sacred. Verse 2 says, one man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another's, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. You know, some Christians became vegetarians because, well, they were worried about eating meat sacrificed to idols. Some other Christians didn't worry about that a whole lot. The man who eats everything, it goes on to say, must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Be very, very sure that if you're breaking fellowship with somebody, it's over a substantial matter, not a disputable matter, not a gray area. So hear the word of the Lord from Romans chapter 14, verse 12. So each of us will have to give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let's stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put a stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. You know, we don't judge those outside the church because it's not about their sin. It's about what they do with Jesus. And it has to be an extraordinary stuff going on to judge people inside the church. Big, unrepentant, in-your-face kind of sin. And the judgment then is to withdraw from those kind of people, not to gossip about them, not to slander them, just to withdraw. Back to our main verse. Matthew 7, verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So if you're the type of person that easily condemns others, then it's time to repent of that. Because that's the kind of stuff that comes back to haunt you. When you judge others, there is a boomerang effect. You can say something is good or something is bad, something is right or something is wrong, but soon as you move into condemning people for what they've done, then you're setting yourself up to be their judge and their condemner, and you will be condemned in the same measure that you are meting out. You reap what you sow. It may look different. It may be different. It may be that you will judge one way, but you'll reap you will reap it in another way. You may judge somebody for their fashion sense, but you'll reap insecurity. You may judge somebody for what they did wrong, but instead of just saying that was wrong, you condemn their whole person. And you'll find that when you do that, you too will find areas of your life where you're insecure, where you're hurt, where you're distant from God. So your call is do not judge, or you too will be judged. We've seen that if you are a Christian, you are called not to judge those outside the church. Because it's not about what they do, it's about what they do with Jesus. And that's what matters. And it's about them coming to Jesus and allowing Jesus to work in their life. It's not about you setting up your standard for them. It's about allowing Jesus to be who he is for them. And it's about allowing God to do a work in your life. Don't break fellowship unless it's a really serious matter. Allow God to put love in your heart for everyone. I'm so glad that you've tuned in today. Let me pray for you. Lord, in this matter of judgment, it's often very easy to move from saying something is wrong to condemning someone. I pray, Lord, for the grace to not be judges of each other, but instead show love. Help us to be that for each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to thank you for listening to Good News in the Morning. This program is on the air by God's grace and the donations of many faithful people. My name is Brent Russett, and it has been a privilege to bring you Good News in the Morning.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We so appreciate the donations which we depend on to keep us on the air week by week. We invite individuals, companies to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to 96 Pheasant Run Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K2J2R5, Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart. And may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.